When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You hear the gravel?
I can hear the gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like our old driveway.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Just like walking around barefoot. Like, do you think that that's something that everybody who grows up with a gravel driveway has kind of like got a superiority complex over?
Probably.
It's like, you know, I used to walk barefoot on kind of sharp surfaces.
Yeah. It was sort of like, was there grass next to it? Yeah. Like if you're willing to walk around that one bush, I guess.
Yeah, but who's going to do that?
I know. Like, come on.
Exhausting.
Right? Jeez, come on.
It's easier to just fully commit and just like, honestly, this is like the first stage of like whenever I take like an ice bath in the modern era, it's like you get in and you just have to tell yourself like that even though you're experiencing significant conditions, you're still safe. The gravel is not going to like significantly harm you.
Right. Probably.
You know, you just got to keep like, you just got to keep taking step after step. It's not comfortable, but you know, you can do it.
You can do it. You know, just a little ow.
Just a little ow.
Oh, ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually think it's way worse if there's just like a single gravel than like a whole bunch of gravel.
Yeah. Cause then it's like, at least if it's a whole bunch of gravel, it can kind of like spread the damage around.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas a single one, it's like, ow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just exactly like what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Just right in the middle of your foot.
Right in the middle of the foot. Right in the middle of the old foot bone.
Don't like it. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I am your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B.
Well, good co-host, in case anybody forgot.
Exactly. It reminds me of that episode of Scrubs where the janitor just keeps putting co in front of JD's name when him and Elliot are like, have the same position.
Yes.
And it like totally undermines his position.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I forget what they are, but whatever they are the co.
Yeah, they are the co, but they only put co in front of his name.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. President and co-president.
Yes, exactly. Like, one of you seems more official.
Right. And Elliot's just sort of like, I don't know what to do about it.
I don't know what to do. Sorry, JD. My bad. My B. Okay, here, let me ask you before we dive on in. So are you familiar with the hand gesture when you're talking to someone where you are like trying to convey that like I'm watching you, and you would point with two fingers at your eyes and then point those two fingers at the other person?
Yes. Yeah. I'm okay. Familiar with it.
Are you familiar with it? Do you think you're good at it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
think so. Yeah. It's honestly, I feel the same way about that as I do like air quotes. Like I feel like a lot of times I do like too many bunnies.
Too many bunnies.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'll say like a two syllable word, but I'll do like three bunnies.
Right.
You know, and it's like that was too many like up downs.
It's sort of like if you're doing air quotes, you need to like, either you're right, it needs to be like a two syllable word, so you can be like, that was funny, and you can like quote them both, or you have to do like the open quotes on like the front half and then end it.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, that was a really dumb thing you just said, you know?
Oh yeah. Right, yeah. Like, I feel like I get like too, the grammar is too in my brain.
Right.
Where I'm like, I'll like start saying like the like, you know, air quotes part of the word, and I'm like, well, now I'm already behind. Now I got to catch up. And now
Do you quote on every syllable that you do, or is it just like open and close, or is it just really?
I don't know.
Like, no, it's like that episode of Friends where Joey can't do it.
Yeah, it's just
I'm sorry, not doing it right, Joe.
Oh man,
that's a fantastic one. That is, yeah. So the fingers to eyes to the other person, I feel like I cannot tell you how much time I've put into trying to be good at it.
Oh, like, do you like stand in the mirror and you're sort of like focusing in like, okay, I got this.
Like, you know, yes. Like I'll let, you know, like I think about like, cause I'll do it and I feel like it looks good. And then I'll like see myself in the mirror or something. And it's just like, that wasn't it. That didn't have like the effect I was going for.
Yeah. I mean, and the question is like, is it just weird seeing yourself do something? Like, is that the same as like hearing yourself on like a recording and you're like, oh, I hate the way my voice sounds. It's like, you're never going to think you look natural doing something because you know you're thinking about it.
I think that's possibly it. I think when I realized that like in my, like when you do it, or maybe this is just me, that like my hand, my wrist very naturally does like a full 180, like from my eyes to the next person.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I think when I was doing it, I would kind of point to my eyes and then kind of get like maybe not all the way there or something.
Oh, like all of a sudden now you're like trying to go like to their eyes, but now you're not like, now you've not done it correctly.
Yeah. Or it's like in the act of like spinning, you kind of move forward or something and it just doesn't look nearly as good if it's sort of like, you don't want to be rotating from the elbow. It wants to be like all wrist motion, you know, it wants to be like very snappy motion is what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't thought about it this much. So.
I don't think I've thought about it this much. I mean, the question in my mind, it's like when people do like, I'm watch, like, are you supposed to like, cause if you go like two eyes, like, so you point like one finger at both eyes and then you turn around and you point it at them with both fingers. Is that like my eyes or watching your eyes?
I think you're going for eyes to eyes.
Or is there a world where you go like two fingers in your eyes and then when you turn it around, you like point at them like I'm watch, like I, my eyes are watching you.
Oh, that seems like, that feels like more threatening.
It does.
That's
yeah,
like I'm watching you. Eyes to eyes is more like look at me in the eyes, take me seriously.
Oh, okay. Well, that seemed very natural in that capacity. That seemed more like you're writing up like a playbook, you know, like in backyard football or something like that. And you're like, okay, like you're looking at me, I'm looking at you. We're good. Like you're gonna run and then do a post,
right?
Which would be like running, like running at an angle,
right? Or you can like use it to direct someone's eyes, be like.
Like
my eyes here. These are your eyes. Point them there.
Okay. So what we're doing right now is pantomiming.
We're describing pantomimes to people who can only hear us.
Exactly. A famously good conversation topic for an audio format show.
This is the thing. On the show How I Met Your Mother, Barney Stinson. We're doing a lot of sitcoms today.
We are. Yeah, we've already hit Scrubs.
Barney
Friends, and
is extremely good at this move.
Well, Barney's good at just seemingly.
Neil Patrick. You know. Yeah. These are the kinds of things though that like. Neil Patrick Harris like excels at like, these sort of movements. Like he is very good at them, and it's like what makes Barney stands out. It's like these little flourishes all over the place.
Yeah,
and it watching that show made me realize like, I'm not good at that move, so I have worked on it.
So oh really? Okay, yeah. Okay.
So here's what I do now is that when I point to my eyes, I also move my head, and then I go like this. So it's like almost like a nod.
Okay, like the extra little like head tilt makes, that is very natural. Look at you go. I'm like, okay, like me and you, we're making eye contact.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching you. But is it I'm watching you if you're doing the two eyes thing?
The other person has to pick up on the context, or you have to, you know, convey the context with whatever the situation is.
Yeah. The other question is sort of like, is this one of those things that like it makes sense to do in TV shows, but it's not as highly applicable out in the real world. It's like it demonstrates without saying the words what the actor is like attempting to tell you, the audience.
Oh, like it's better at communicate. Like it's really more beneficial to the audience than it is to the characters.
Precisely. Right. Precisely. Because it's not really that subtle, you know? Like almost every single time I've ever done the I'm watching you thing, it's almost always been like in jest. Like I've just been like kidding. Like, you know, like somebody will like say something here at the office and I'm like, I'm watching you.
I'm rarely doing it as like a serious sort of thing. Like I'm usually trying to elicit a laugh with the gesture, but more like not necessarily in like a maybe a sarcastic way, but just sort of like I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it is meant to be like, wasn't this sort of like an over the top flourish I just did?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I know what you
but
mean.
It doesn't feel over the top.
But there are those
because
moments,
it looks so practiced.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
There are those moments though in conversations like where somebody will say something and you and another person in the conversation have had a conversation about the thing that the person just said. And then you'll like have this like eye glance at one another where you're sort of like, hey, they just did the thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, kind of like, it's like, hey, did you hear that? Like they did the thing that we talked about them doing.
I know. It's like, you know, it's like, you know why I don't like hanging out with that person? Because they always bring this up. And then when you're hanging out with that person, they're like, you know what's up? And you're like,
he's like the thing's happening
every
right
time.
Now. Yeah,
told
yeah.
you. I told you. Look, I brought it up again.
Silent communication from across the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, those moments of eye contact are sort of like a full conversation, like in one go, where it's sort of like, we just touched eyes, like we kind of we know what's going on.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Yeah, but anyway, that was all. Because sometimes I'll do that when we're doing the thumbnails. I'll try and do the eyes thing as like maybe that'll be funny for the thumbnail.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, but so I was thinking about it as I was doing them today.
Okay, well, so here's what I gotta tell you is that back in college, I remember one like weird thing I would always do whenever I would go to like the bathroom at a party is I'd like there's always like the mirror over like top of the sink and everything. And I feel like oftentimes at the party, I would go in and I would like stare back at myself, and it would almost be like I would like try to become the mirror me looking back at the other me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like I feel like I always have like intense staring contests with myself in the mirror, but it was like almost always in this like one very specific set of circumstances, which was like, you know, maybe a couple of like libations had taken place and yeah. whatnot. And, you know, you're almost like stepping away from the party for a moment and you're like, okay, ground yourself, you know, like you see you, you're yeah. watching you, mm-hmm. you're aware of what you're doing. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're good.
Okay, so it was like a way to like sober yourself a little.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Like, I almost wonder if that's exactly what was happening. It's sort of like, you still have to look at you, you know? Like, yeah. you know, be aware of what mm-hmm. you are doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, look at yourself, dude.
I don't think these thoughts ever went through my head.
That was the problem right there. See how it wasn't going the full way?
Right.
Yeah. You gotta really...
Okay, so I had one the other day too. So me and Alice watch probably more Love Island or, you know, like whatever those types of dating reality type shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And oftentimes like somebody new will come to the villa and they'll do like their like little intro reel, like where they've gone into like a studio and they've got like neon lights and balloons or like a ball pit for them to play in. They're like sitting on a stool and, you know, like as they're sort of like introducing themselves, you know, like the producer is clearly asked like, are you kind of like a flirt, you know? And he'll be like, yeah, you know, I gotta say I'm like a little bit of a flirt. And like as they're like saying it, they'll like always cut to them sort of like doing these like little dance moves, and oftentimes like they'll take their hands and they'll sort of do this like hair swish back thing, like,
yeah,
you know. And so the other day I was standing in front of my mirror and I was like, I wonder how they do that, like how do they know how to do, like, because most of the time their hair is like freshly cut, like they're not actually like brushing anything back, they're just doing this motion that's sort of like boo boo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you could picture it.
Yeah.
And it's like when I went to do that, I was like, wow, I just only looked dumb,
right? Don't,
like,
adjust my hair in public. Never mind.
It's like at no point in time could I do that. You, and somebody would be,
you
like,
you haven't ironed out this gesture yet is what I'm hearing.
No, clearly not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's, maybe I'm just not coordinated enough for it.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe you like just gotta like really own it. Maybe this is like dancing.
It's,
you know,
probably.
It's like, you know, the more that you're just sort of like, yeah, no, I'm 100% this person right now.
Yeah,
it's like, well, then it's gonna work.
Yeah, I guess so. That's probably it. I think I've tried to do forever that I apparently have within me, but cannot do is like on command is like raise one eyebrow.
Oh yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
It's one of my greatest weaknesses, I think. I can't do it.
Like, yeah. So like if you're like interviewing for a new job and they're like, what's your greatest weakness? You're like, I can't raise one eyebrow.
Yeah, that's really, I'm sorry.
Like, I know you're going to need that from me at some point in time.
I know. It's really embarrassing. And like, I will stare in the mirror and I'll be like, I'll try and focus so hard on making that like one eyebrow move. And it's like, I can't do it. And I'll feel like I'm doing it. And then it's like both eyebrows are just moving. And I'm like, what I've been doing. But then the other day at the office, like Ethan's like, you have one eyebrow up. And I was like, what? And he's like, remember that face. And I was like, I don't even feel anything. You know, it's like, I can't get the gist of it.
The funniest thing is that you always do it when you're like, so we've been doing all of our, like our water chugs here in office,
yeah.
In preparation for the beer mile at GoFest. And every single time you go to chug, you always have this like very like focused look on your face.
Yeah.
And one eyebrow does go up,
man.
I know.
Yeah, like, so if I, let me just try and get in that zone and let's see if it happens. Right. Just, did it happen?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's another one. It's a huge, you know, it's a missing part of my repertoire.
I know.
I feel like I can't convey so many like funny expressions.
Dude, missing parts of my repertoire, I would say also would include the ability to juggle. Mm-hmm. Is something that I'm like, I will actively be sitting there and I'm like, why can't I juggle? Like, Ben, there was free time at some point. Why did you not learn to juggle?
I'm sure you're about one afternoon's hard work away from being able to juggle.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's like it doesn't feel like a huge barrier, like, in order to like accomplish.
Yeah.
But juggling is one of them. And then the darn Rubik's Cube.
Oh, the Rubik's Cube.
Is the
yeah.
other. Like, that was, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I was sort of like, you know, I ordered one like everybody else on the internet and was like, okay, I'm going to learn a new skill. Like, here we
right.
go. And I remember like I was getting all the like little algorithms down. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm moving through it. And then it gets to the last algorithm that's like, don't worry, you're almost there. It's like, now just this 20 step algorithm and you're like, you make these 20 moves and you're done. And I'm like, 20? Like, these people who are doing this, like they'll pick it up, you know, on the shelf and just like sit there and do it like while they're talking to you, they're doing a 20 step
right.
process.
It's like you're I know that feeling where you're like, you're staring at and you're like, 20 steps? Like, Like, as if, like, I'm really, you, like, your, my opinion, if I was staring at that, would be like, okay, I'm looking, what I'm looking at is like the code, the math of it, like the show your work part of it. But surely what the people are actually doing is memorizing more of like a pattern. Like, see, if every time the white one's over here, do this, and then it'll either be this or that. So that, and it's like, they're really like, in my brain, whenever I watch it, it seems like they're looking for like one thing and that means this, or this thing and that means that, you know,
I think that could be correct.
That could be correct, I guess, but it's not like a, like, okay, this, okay, orange in the corner. Okay. 20 moves. Got it.
Done. You know?
Yeah.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like a 1 to 2 step process rather than like a 20 step process. Just like 1 to 2 steps that you repeat over and over and over. And maybe that is what it is. I don't know.
No. Yeah. But, yeah. But I mean, these are like the little, like, they're like the party tricks that I feel like I'm supposed to know. So like in like the early days of like elementary school, I feel like we could always do like the elephant with our hands.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like that was always like a big one where you like, you kind of like take your pinky, you drag it over your middle finger, and then you use your ring finger and your pointer to like hold it in place. And it makes like a little elephant.
Like an elephant.
And I remember people used to always be like, wow, that's so amazing.
Mind blowing to other first graders.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. They like, it was so fun too, because then people would always look at their hand and they'd be like,
how do I do that?
I know. Yeah. Like, and it was like, man. It's like, you know, I got it. No big deal.
Turn over.
And
cannon.
Then,
boom.
And then somebody, yeah, cannon.
Yeah.
And then somebody else would be like, what are you guys doing? And be like, well, Ben can make an elephant with his fingers. And they're like, wait, let me try. And then it was like, before you knew it, you're like, wow, look at this. This is so cool.
I know. Yeah.
This is what being a Letterman jacket wearing jock feels like.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Or I could, I don't know that I'm supposed to do it, so I won't do it. But like, I could also do the thing where you could like write blood with your fingers. You put them in such a way that like it spells the word like blood.
Right.
That was another one people used to always think was kind
of
like,
of course,
kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then what else? Oh, and then I could do like the droplet noise.
Oh yeah, from like Ferris Bueller.
Yep. Like,
yeah,
the,
ready.
Hold, that was terrible.
Wow.
There we go.
Very good.
Does it sound good?
It sounds good. Sounds like water is dripping in the back room, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
See if I can do that one.
Okay. Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a much drippier sink than me.
It's a runny faucet, you know?
Yeah. I could never sleep in that room.
Oh,
no way.
Man. I know. I'm trying to think of like in my backpack, I would have like a little, it was like a bag of tricks or something.
Yes.
Yeah, you know?
Apparently me and you had the same,
like, this is like a way to like wow people on the go.
Right. Do you want to be mildly entertained?
I know. Let's see. I'm trying to think of things I can do. I can spin a ball on one finger, which I feel like is a really lost art anymore.
I completely agree. That is another one that you can do that I think is missing from the bag of tricks.
Yeah.
I can whistle and hum at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Which makes kind of an interesting noise. Let's see if I can do it.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It sounds very like alien-y.
Very solid. Very solid. I can very confidently spin a coin with one hand, just like flip it out of my
hand.
That's
a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
I can split. I can cut a deck of cards with one hand.
Yes, like the fingers where you kind of make like scissors with your fingers and like fold like one half over the bottom half.
Right. Yeah.
That one's helpful because we have weirdly big hands.
Yeah, we have big hands. People are like, why do you do that? It's like, no big deal, really.
Yeah. Actually, just even that one, that was another one where people oftentimes I'll be doing the elephant trick with my fingers, you know, as you often do. And then people would be like, wow, you have really big hands. And I'm like, yeah. And you'd hold them up and then be like, wow, whoa, you have really big hands.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
I had there was a brief spell in eighth grade where thumb wars were really in vogue.
Oh, how could they not be?
How could they not be? And let me tell you, Ben, I was sort of like known as the thumb war king of eighth grade.
Oh, people didn't want to
for
mess
that
with
week.
That. Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You know, not, I mean, don't want to brag, you know, giant thumb, whatever.
Yeah. Big thumbs.
That was a fun week.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm trying to think. What are some other stupid things? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you know, if I describe this, if you know what I'm talking about. If you're holding a ball, right, in your hand and you drop it and extend your arm out at the same time and it bounces off the inside of your elbow. Oh my gosh. It feels like so obvious that you're just like using your arm to like bounce it back into place to where the ball was.
Yep.
But I've watched people try to do it and they'll like drop it and like straight up swing their arm.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? What are you seeing me do?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Or then, I'm sure you can do the quarter thing where you put the, like a stack of quarters like on your elbow and then just,
Oh, just like shoot forward and he'll like grab catch it out of the air.
Yeah, these are my party tricks.
I know. Yeah, so it's like if you're willing to just come hang, like these
this
like,
is what it's like.
This is what I will do to attempt to impress you. Anyway, yeah. So it just kind of keeps going. I remember getting being able to touch net and or rim on a basketball hoop.
I mean, yeah, obviously, yeah.
That was a
fantastic
big one.
Times. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was like I've had this conversation with Alice on numerous occasions, and as I'm saying the words out loud, I'm even fairly certain that we've had this conversation on the pod before. But I've asked her so many times about things that I think like I or my friends would have done at times to in an effort to like impress potential like dating prospects, you know, where like I would be at like a school social in like, you know, seventh grade or whatever. Right. And if I could run and touch net, it would be a type of thing where like, if you could do it and the rest of the guys like couldn't, you know, you'd be like, man, I bet everybody was paying attention to that. This is all everybody's gonna be talking about. And Alice is like, I can guarantee no one cared. And it's funny because I think that like, so often it's the case, like where like this is the part I feel like I know I've said before, but like the people with like the really big, like lifted trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like a really loud motorcycle.
Yes.
It's like people are like, people are turning heads because they think this is like boss.
This is awesome.
Yeah. And most of the time, I think any conversation I've been in around people, more often than not, especially if it's a very loud exhaust, people are like, wow, that is like only obnoxious.
Right.
Like, it's like, who could ride that all day, like without their ears just be like ringing? Like,
right.
It just seems inconvenient.
Right. It's like, in my mind, I'm like, it's like, I can't believe people are so like determined to like annoy lots of people.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, like it's like in my mind, they are not doing it because they think it's cool. They're doing it to try to annoy people. And it's like, that's not true. It's the opposite. And it's like, it is so hard for me to comprehend how like you like what, how could you think that?
Well, and that's really interesting as well, because I was reading the other day. So Addie has gotten really into Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right. Your favorite movie.
Which, yes, has historically scared the pants off of me.
Right.
To the point where I'm fairly certain I left one of like my first ever sleepovers as a child because we watched Nightmare Before Christmas and I was like so petrified.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't think I can like make it. I'm going to see especially the doctor guy,
yeah,
like the surgeon. I'm afraid he's gonna like come out of the closet or out from underneath the bed.
He's a creepy dude. Yeah.
And so I was reading though about Nightmare Before Christmas, because sometimes like as I'm watching it, like I'm watching Addie clearly love it. It's like, is it possible that she likes it as much as, I mean, like she can't be doing it just out of like to be like counterculture or something. She must be
she just likes
it.
Yeah.
So I'm like Googling. I'm like, what do people like about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Right.
And it took me down a really interesting path of like the feedback that I got. And there was one line in particular that like stuck with me to the point where I was like, man, that's so good. And the phrase is, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And so it's like, you're like, nobody is successfully seeing the world exactly as it truly is.
Okay.
You're always seeing it through the lens and bias of your own set of like opinions, values, personal experiences, like ups, downs, all around.
Right.
And so it's like, when you see situations like the person who has like the really loud, you know, exhaust or whatever, it's like, you know, your like reaction to it might be like, why would you like optionally choose to just like annoy as many people as humanly possible?
Right.
And so it's almost like, because it annoys you, you're like, they must be aware that it's annoying everyone.
Right. And they must be doing it on purpose.
Right. Right. Like this
to
is
to annoy.
This is somebody who has like an antagonistic view and is like sowing destruction on the ear holes of the people of the streets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But clearly they can't possibly think that.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be that. Yeah, you're right. That's definitely not what they think.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But so they see the world as they are.
I know. It's like, but I'm so curious, like, is there like, are there people who like, they hear that like loud exhaust and they're like, whoa, I got to go see what car that is.
I think that that must happen.
It must happen.
It must happen. Like there's almost, because I think that this can also be the case. So like we're taking it from something that feels very like shallow or unapproachable, but like, I think you could go to the complete other end of the spectrum and take like super fancy, like art films that are specifically designed to like win at like Cannes or whatever,
right,
you know, yeah. like Sundance. And
yeah,
oftentimes if I sit down and watch one of those movies, it'll be the same situation where I'm like, is this entertaining someone? Like,
right.
Who is this entertaining? Mm-hmm. Like, is it supposed to be fun? I don't even think it makes sense.
Right.
Like, you know, and probably what's actually happening is just like, whew, clear over my head. You
right.
know, like, I'm happy to say that. I'm not here to like dog on, you know, artists creating good art or
right.
anything
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. However, it's like, it's for a particular kind of audience that knows how to appreciate what they're seeing. At least I must allow myself to believe that that's what's happening.
Right.
But on some level, like, I think as far apart as those two things can be from one another, it almost feels like they're wrapped in the same packaging, which is that like the people who can appreciate what it is they've done do, but it's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, and one of them is very highbrow and the other one is a very loud.
So getting back to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas goes back to that sentiment that like Jack inside of the movie is seeing the world as he is. And Jack is somebody who like the town is Halloween Town. So
right.
they all love Halloween.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
Right.
I think Jack is somebody who is, he lives there and therefore, and he is somebody who celebrates things.
Yeah.
And so like he can go and see the glory of Christmas Town.
Right.
But everybody else doesn't get it because they're all residents of Halloween Town.
Right.
So like Jack can't understand how he's having such difficulty conveying the beauty that is Christmas to these people who otherwise are so ingrained in Halloween Town.
Okay.
So he's seeing the world as he is, and which is like
it's fun to celebrate things.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But he can't get other people to understand it, which on some level could be the muffler or the art film, which is that like that movie is so boring and makes no sense and it is very confusing. And what did I just watch? Or wow, this is ear splittingly loud. Why on earth would anybody ever do this to their motorcycle?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But surely the people of Motorcycle Town and the people of
yeah.
Film Town. Understand.
They get it. They appreciate it.
Did it work?
I think
I made the analogy land.
You've done what Jack could not.
Yes. Yeah. Woo.
Woo.
There we
Hooray.
Go. Okay. That's
Nicely
it.
Nicely done.
That's it.
Nicely done.
In other news, I've been watching a ton of Nightmare Before Christmas.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, what have I been watching? I haven't. So actually, I can transition it. Boom. Luke has been getting into his first, I would say air quotes, podcast ever, I suppose.
See, I would have said his first podcast, and then I would have done air quotes around first instead of podcast, but podcast is clearly the thing you're supposed to podcast?
Yeah, like right,
his,
yeah.
His first podcast?
Yeah, I mean, unless first is like, I don't know if it's really his first, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I guess
I see
it could be
saying.
Like that
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's a good
point. But anyway, I call it that. It's like it's not like a, you know, people reporting anything. It's more like a like an audio production of a story, I suppose, being presented in like, you know, just audio form.
Okay.
But it's called Miles the Brave.
Miles the Brave.
Miles the Brave. That's yeah, it was a really actually sounded a lot like one of the characters in the book.
Oh, interesting.
Not book. But that's what it feels like. It feels like a like chapter book almost, where in every episode, like, you know, Miles is narrating and then they'll jump into the jungle or the lost world or wherever they're at, and he'll have some minor adventure with a new monster, and then, you know, it'll be a little cliffhanger and you'll be like, what happens next? Tune in next week or whatever.
Okay.
And it's like 30 chapters, let's say 30 episodes long. He's listened to the entire thing so
okay.
far. And this is kind of like, he's like listening to it like in bed at night. You know, I think he's listened to it like 4 or 5 times now.
Wow. Okay.
I know. But it's really interesting because like until now, like he's either like watched something on TV or like looked at the pages of a book. So it's very interesting watching him like take in a story using nothing but the audio, because like there's no pictures to go by, you know. It's like you know, when you're reading like a novel, like as an adult, it's kind of, you know, there's like no pictures or anything. So it's all in your imagination, but he can't quite do that yet.
Right.
So this is like, it's sort of like the same thing, except there's no pictures to go by. So like it's curious, like how much he's able to retain from it and how much he can tell you about the story based on like just the listening.
Interesting. You know,
with like no like visual cues or anything.
No, that is fascinating. And it feels like it would be such a great medium for kids because it would promote such huge amounts of imagination.
Yeah.
Like you don't get like anything to illustrate it for you, which I mean, it's probably why it's great for kids to read as well.
Yeah.
Just, you know, books. But sometimes I think getting young children at that age to just go through and open up a book that has words and words and words and no images at all is probably a tougher sell.
Takes some time to get there for sure.
So has he been able to describe to you any of the characters, like in terms of like what he's imagined them to like look like?
I don't know if he's like described the characters themselves to me, but like they leave them like some of like the human characters are like ambiguous, like Miles and, you know, the you know, girl he meets, Petra. I haven't heard them described physically.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
They're just sort of like blank canvases, like fill in the blank person. And then one of the characters is like a big lion. And
Aslan.
Not Aslan, yeah. Effectively. He's the would you know? He's the leader of the Lost World, and all the other creatures listen to him, except for the bad guy, what's his name? Noctis the Destroyer.
Oh, I know. Kind of intimidating.
Him and the lion, his name I cannot remember right now, they got beef.
Okay.
They got
okay.
beef.
Okay, okay.
You know? Not so, good. So Noctis.
Have you listened to the whole podcast?
Though? I haven't listened to the entire thing, no. I've listened to like probably the first like 10 episodes, then whatever episode Luke is on at bedtime. You
okay.
Know?
Okay.
So bits and pieces here and there. But I mean, it is like a well done thing. Like it's like professionally made. And there's like, you know, voice actors and lots of sound production and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. It's enjoyable enough. But this is also like one of those where like Beth, she learned about it from like one of Luke's friends' moms, and they're like, oh yeah, he likes Miles the Brave, and we're like, okay, well, you know, give it a shot one day. And you know, Beth turns it on and they're all just kind of listening to it in the car or whatever, and you know, like we got we're listening to it in the car. We got like several chapters into it, and then we were meeting you at a brewery a few days later. Okay. And I was like, oh, there's another podcast made by like the same company, and she like fired it up. And, you know, they're like in chapter one, they're like, oh, we need to go harvest like solar diamonds or something. And I was like, solar diamonds? They use the same MacGuffin as Miles the Brave? And Beth is like, how do you know that? I'm just like, what do you mean? We listened to like 5 episodes of the car the other day. And she's like, I was not paying attention at all. And I'm like, I don't know how you could have not been paying attention. You weren't like on your phone or anything. You know,
like what were you doing with your brain?
What were you doing? Like, how could you not know there were solar diamonds? And then turns out there's like actual crossover between the podcasts and stuff. So,
oh, wow.
I was like, wow. See, called it because of the solar diamonds. Duh. It's like she can't understand. She's like, you can't not pay attention to stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how you can't be. But
I do think it's a more unique characteristic to you than it is to Beth.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be so endlessly curious to see what it'll be like if your kids end up being the same.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like super deep divers.
Yeah.
Stuff.
They just like retain all the details about everything.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
This is where I always feel like our, like, you know, there is a, like, we have a conversation very early on at Super Carlin Brothers, like where we like constantly like wonder, like, are we even like really like, you know, experts on these topics? Like, you know, or do we have any business like writing theories or speculating or weighing in or giving our thoughts or, you know, whatever. And in a lot of ways, I it's like, you know, I sit there and like know that you and I have had that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that like, you know, I've probably got my own imposter syndrome coming from, you know, here, there, everywhere and stuff like that. But sometimes I'm like, Jay knows these things so in depth. Like I am like a moon orbiting your fandom knowledge planet.
You know things.
No, I know. I mean, I'm a moon, man. You know, like I'm not dogging myself. You know, not everybody's a moon.
Right.
But definitely not everybody's a planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're sure. A planet.
I'm a planet of information.
A planet of information.
On fandom things.
Yes.
All right. I guess so. I guess maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to, I don't know what to say.
Well done. Well done.
Thanks.
A collective
thanks.
Round of applause from the colonels and me. I'll take a stab at the soundboard if I may.
Okay. Wow. Ready? Yeah. Oh. That was so the wrong sound.
That wasn't it. I did my best.
You did good. That was fine.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral cut hot dogs, or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality, and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online, thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy, does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th? That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
Let's see. Speaking of fandoms, you and I are presently in the middle of writing just what feels like another marathon series over on Super Carlin Brothers.
Yes.
Called What If Ron Was in Hufflepuff?
We have been going hard on this.
Been going
series.
Hard on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It is quickly reminding me of the Harry and Slytherin series, which is no surprise given the similar, you know, concept for it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like, it's exactly the kind of situation where we like, I feel like when we first started talking about it, the big discovery that we had came from a Through the Gryffindor listener.
Yeah.
It's like, man, how many, if anybody's just like stepping in and listening to this episode for the first time, they're like, how many projects do these guys have? Too many.
Too many.
But somebody asked the question, like, you know, what if Harry was raised by the Weasleys?
Yeah.
And ultimately what we decided is that that is the question that unlocks the door to the reason as to why like Ron would ask the Sorting Hat to place him anywhere but Gryffindor.
Right.
And if he's not going in Gryffindor, then obviously he would go into Hufflepuff. And so I feel like when we first sat down, it was almost like, okay, this could be like one video. It's like year one, this is what's going to happen. Year two, this is what's going to happen. Year three, year four, year five, like so on and so forth. And then it was sort of like, okay, let's flesh out like year one a little bit. Then it was like, before we knew it, we're like, okay, we're like 10 pages in, and okay, we're not going to be able to finish this today. Like,
yeah.
we're still in year one.
Right.
And this is already going to be like a 25-minute video.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, sometimes you'll get through it and it'll be like, yeah, year one wouldn't really change, or sometimes the what if will like, the change itself will be like in the middle of book five, and it's like, okay, so we really don't have to get from here to the end.
Yes.
But this was like, it starts immediately at the beginning of the story, and it will have ripple effects that go all the way. So, like, you know, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? It's like, and that's how it would affect Ron's first year. All right, thanks for watching. But then, you know, it's like, well, how does it affect the second year? And just now, like, and then we got to, we're on like book three right now, and we just finished filming like part three, part two. Yes. Today it was like, oh no, are we like how deep have we gone?
I know. Yeah. And then that's the problem, is that the deeper you go, it's like, put down the shovel. And it's like, I can't
put down the shovel. I want to know what happens.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem. You just got to keep digging.
I know. And it's like, now it's like, it's weird because often the way we'll do it, it's like, The cool thing about doing what ifs for Harry Potter is that like so much of the plot happens to Harry.
Yeah, so a lot of times things will still happen.
Yeah, things can just continue to happen, and it's like they'll react differently and it'll change like this or that. And the way that works for like our what ifs though is that oftentimes like, yeah, oh, this will change one little thing here, but not that much. And one little thing here, but not that much. But given enough time, all those tiny branches really start to get wider and wider.
Yes.
So it's like, now, like, so the first 2 years were, they were pretty similar to how they go. But by the end of like year three here, it's like, we've made some definite changes to the overall story now. And it's like, it's not like the big plot points will still happen, but you have like a lot more things to account for based on your own changes all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you wrote down in the show notes here that Ron and Hufflepuff is the story that is slowly taking over my life.
Oh yeah, a little bit. It's just like, well, because the other thing is that we decided to do this, just leading right into our next Through the Griffin tour.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll be leaving for that in, as of recording this episode, in 2 days.
Yeah, like less than 47 hours from now, we'll be underway.
Yes, I guess by the time you're hearing this, we'll have been like on it for a week or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
It is wild to think.
But as per that sentence, it's meant that we have to do a lot of work this week trying to get ahead for the time we'll be out of office. And a lot of times, like, the difficulty in getting ahead is having the, like, what are the ideas going to be for the next, like, piece of content that we're going to make? Like, what's the next video going to be about? And the good news about having series like Ron and Hufflepuff is that it is very, like, you know what the idea is going to be because you're just going to keep adding to the next chapter. But then the flip side of that sword is that it is a very in-depth process.
It is, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It takes a huge amount of time to, like, to dig through each thing and basically like try to lay out like each major moment in the story that needs explaining.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, well, this doesn't happen if that doesn't happen. You know,
right.
Like, do Fred and George still give Harry the map if Harry's just like also a sibling versus like Ron, who's like in the same year?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh gosh.
I know. And you have, yeah, so it's stuff like that where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, and if Harry doesn't get the map, it's like, maybe there's sometimes where like you, not that you're just trying to like force things to happen, but like, you know, if Harry doesn't get the map, then that probably changes things a lot. But like, does it make as much sense that he still gets the map? And it's like, yes, for these reasons, you know?
Right. But what's amazing to me is the frequency at which like we'll lay the groundwork for something, not knowing fully where it will go. But then you fast forward like 2 years and you're like, oh yeah. Now that gets to come back.
And it's
like, that's so cool.
Those are the really fun moments where like, you just sort of like, you discover what changes happened. And then when you get into the future, the changes you made have like repercussions that you didn't plan for, but they work really well.
Yes. Yeah. That is the number one thing that I'm always curious about, because we are not like long form writers by trade at all. Like, we've never written like a novel ourselves or anything. And so I'm always very, very, very curious, like, if this is happening for other authors as they are writing things, where it's like, you know what? I didn't even plan for this to happen, but now I kind of love it.
Kind of like it. Yeah. Like, you get to like know the characters a little bit more as they go, where it's like, I guess it would just make more sense for them to do this. Like, I thought it was going to go that way, but no. And then it's like, oh, now this, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I'm curious. Like, do people, like, when people are like outlining like novels or whatever, do they pretty much have a pretty good gist of how it's all going to go? Or is it like, I know I want this character to be the main thing, this to be the problem, and this to be the resolution. Go.
Yeah. Fill in the gaps.
Fill in the gaps. Yeah.
I bet everybody has a completely different approach.
Yeah. I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it is interesting. And it's like one of those that like, because we've had like, you know, we've been like so crunch time on everything else. It's like, I've then, you know, like, going to like a coffee shop in the morning to like try and like get extra writing in on it. And then I'll just like, which I've discovered is like it has been a really productive, at least this first week of doing it, where it's just like, I'm at like a place that isn't work, where the only reason I'm there is to do the writing, which is like, you think, wasn't that what you do at work? And it's like, I have a lot of things to do at work, you know?
That's the funny thing too. It's like, sometimes I think that's where like changing up your work environment can be so beneficial, because it's like, it's almost like if you go through and like redecorate your home and you're like, oh my gosh, like I fell in love with my home all over again or whatever. Like, you know, it's like you've changed the environment a little bit and then you slowly acclimate to it and get used to it being the same again. Yeah. But like whenever we've moved offices, I'm always like, dude, I just like this new space that we're in is like such a new creative space. Like, it's like, it's clearly like it's really opening up like all the brainwaves and like I'm thinking so much clearer. I'm getting like a lot more done. And then like as time goes on, it's like you sort of like, you know, again, you get used to the new space and it's like, well, you know, like now I don't really feel like that's happening anymore. Why does it not feel like the same creative space? And it's like, in the beginning, it was new.
Right.
And I think that newness can be so beneficial.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. You've actually not told me that you were going anywhere.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess just as of my therapy last week, what I guess this, it's sort of one of these things where it's like, this has often been the outcome, but it felt like it became the outcome in like several different conversations I had all at once. And it was like just a grand awareness that like I was not doing a very good job of like prioritizing myself or anything.
Yep.
And I was like, huh. And it really sent me down a rabbit hole of being like, what? How has this affected my whole life? You know?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You're like, huh. And so I've been trying, you know, to do better about that. And like one of the suggestions, like my therapist was like, why don't you just like go, you know, somewhere, like, because I would say like, you know, I'll drop Luke off and then I'll go to work and then I'll feel like I have this like whole extra hour to get stuff done, but then like I won't do any work. I'll just sort of like, you know, play around on my computer or whatever, and then I'll feel bad about not being productive even though I had a whole extra hour at work or whatever. And she was like, well, what if you just go somewhere else before work and like just decide like I'm not doing work right now because work hasn't started yet. I'm just going to go there and do this, or go do work, but just plan exactly what work you're going to do. And I was like, I guess I'll try it.
You know, fine. Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
If I have to go do something for myself, I guess I will.
Oh, no. It was such a like, it was a really weird conversation where like, it was not apparent to me like how like bad it was like to myself.
Yeah.
You know,
I know I was being sarcastic before, cause I know that this is a really big challenge. I think, especially when you've got like a young family.
Yeah. Yeah. So like she like posed the question like, okay, so just, you know, you're going home from work today, you know, how like, you know, how hard would it be for you to just like stop on your way home and get like an ice cream and then go home. And I was just like, that just about feels impossible. I don't know, you know?
Right, right. Right?
Like,
yes.
Like, I don't think I could do that. Just be away from home longer for just me, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, because you know, in my brain, what the concern is that like, you know, I'm then just neglecting helping at the house or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, it was like amazing to me, you know, that it just felt like so impossible to do something like that in my brain.
Right. I mean, yeah. And it's even interesting because it's like probably the fact that like you're so concerned about that on the forefront is probably a very good indicator that you're not the kind of person who's not helping.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it's like you're like, well, you know, like the extra, like you like extra 15 minutes. It's like, no way. Like,
oh, I know. Especially when you consider that, like, you know, if I had to be here for an extra 10 minutes because, you know, an upload was taking long, like, that wouldn't be that big a deal.
Right,
know?
Right. Yes.
It's like, who's to say where those 10 minutes went, you know?
It's hard to justify things to yourself.
It is hard to justify things to yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially when you feel like it is, when it feels selfish, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So that was, anyway, so I've been just going and trying to write some in the mornings. Specifically because we are on such a time crunch here, but it has been really productive. So,
well, that's, I mean, yeah, that's really good. I yeah. mean, that's extremely helpful towards getting us out the yeah, door.
Right.
Cause yeah, I think this week in particular, it's definitely challenging. Like, you know, I woke up, I think, you know, like Sunday morning and I was like, oh man, like I am not, like, I think I have a cold coming on. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, I think through the pandemic, there was a really interesting, like, big takeaway, which was like, you know what, like when you're sick, like you should just take the time to get better.
Yeah.
You know, and like you know, just do what you can to get better. And it was, I think that like I've been dealing with this like big stress all week because it was just like I am not feeling 100%, and every day we're gonna have to do twice the amount of work we do in a normal day.
Yeah.
And then at the end of this incredibly busy week where I'm also not feeling well, we are gonna be ready to be on the road for 11 days on the other side of the country.
Right.
And it's like, oh goodness gracious.
Right. Like, when am I gonna feel better?
Yeah. I know, yeah. So like a lot of times, like, you know, even if I'm like feeling like a little bit like rough, like in the middle of the week, it's like, okay, like, you know, just a couple more days and like it'll be the weekend and I can like, you know, find some time to like decompress or whatever in there. And like right now I'm like, it might be like 3 weeks from now before like, the next time I have a lull is.
Right.
And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. So there's, I know this, the tour, which we said earlier, we're leaving for in 2 days' time. I was looking at the calendar today and I was like thinking ahead, or I was thinking back and I was like, I think this might be the longest trip I've ever taken.
Oh, wow.
Like at all. You know,
that's kind of wild,
right? Have you taken a longer trip than this?
My study abroad was 3 weeks.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, I guess
like
that
like
counts.
A, like a Maymester yeah. length.
Right.
Yeah. So I was gone for 20, I think like 23 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a pretty long time. It's a pretty long trip.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right though. Like, you know, like whenever like, me and Alice always talk about it, like sleeps, you know, it's like whenever we're like out like on like a business trip or whatever, it's like, you know, we'll get up in the morning and we'll be like, all right, only like two more sleeps left till I come home.
Right.
And you know, it's like, I don't think it's ever been double digits.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's like
just 10 huh. more to go.
10 more sleeps. I know. I was like, it is a long trip. It is a long trip. We're going to be gone for like 11 days or something.
Yes.
Yeah, man. It's because then I'm also like, this will be literally the longest I've gone like without seeing my kids.
Yes.
You know?
Which is another really big one. Like,
yeah.
You know, it keeps, like, Addie has just started preschool and we felt like the changes she's undergone just from like the first like few weeks, which has been like a grand total of like, you know, she goes 4 days a week. So it's been, and she missed one day because it was like a holiday. So she's been there for like 10 days or something so far.
Right.
You know, I'm like, if I'm gone this long, it's like I could come back and she could be like noticeably different.
Right.
You know, it's like, ah!
I know. I'm like, I just like, even that, like, you know, like me who feels bad, like being away for an extra 5 minutes on the drive home, I'm like, I'm going to be gone for so long.
I know.
Like
I
can't, you know, it's like that tension builds up in me. I'm like, feel guilty for even going. And I'm like, but it's like, no, don't feel guilty for going. Like you're like, you know, this is part of your job. You're earning money for those people, you know?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Even that's like a weird one to justify to yourself because, and I think it's because like we have a good team and like, I know that we will have like fun.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the, like the big challenges where you're kind of like, well, if we're like, you know, if you're having a great time, it's almost like, it's like it doesn't feel like that is also otherwise work.
Right.
But it is. It's just very fortunate that it happens to be the case that we enjoy being with the people who we work with.
Right.
Which is great. And just getting to see the community out there.
Right.
Which is another, like, I mean, nothing is more amazing than that. Like I know we've talked about this before, but like I think the hardest part about being a content creator is oftentimes like the distance between yourself and the people who are like, you know, kind of like the consumers of your product. Like I know back when I was like doing aquarium stuff all the time, it was always so amazing. You know, like you would set up a family, you know, like with their first ever aquarium. And then like, you know, you give them all this advice and they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, it's working so well. Like, you know, the family's loving it. You know, the cat watches it. Like, you know, the kids have named all the fish and everything. And like you get like this positive feedback loop that was so tremendous. And yeah. Then I think so often now it's like, you know, you put everything out into the world and you know that there's somebody at home listening to it or consuming it or watching it, or, you know, they're on their lunch break or driving their car to work and, you know, they're like enjoying what you've done. But like the relationship between you and that person is not like what you're so far apart, you know, like,
yeah.
Like some of these people are on like the opposite end of the globe.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you don't get to know how it's like impacting them. Like if it's changed their day, if it made them think about something, if they're like, you know, maybe I need to take more time for myself, you know, like,
right.
Like Jay just talked about his experience with that. Like maybe I should stop and get ice cream on the way home today. It's like, you know, how helpful would it be to know that somebody heard that and then did that?
Right.
You know? So, yes. Anyway, so that's the other really amazing part about tour.
Yeah.
You get to see these people. You
get to see the people.
Yeah,
exactly. I know. But just like, and it's the other weird thing is that because we're so busy this week, it feels like it has stopped me. It is like hindering my ability to like look forward to the trip because all I can see is like what's right in front of me.
Right.
You know, and then it's like I look at the calendar and it's like 11 days. Wow, that's a long time, you know?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
like once you're out there, it'll be very much more like, well, we did what we did, you know? That's just out there now.
Right.
You know, but like in the moment right now, I'm like, it's really hard for me to even be like prepping to like be traveling for that long.
I know. Yep. 100%. Even last night, Alice was like, she was like, should we like put out like all of your outfits and everything? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I have too much left.
Yeah.
To start pulling start outfits. Thinking
that. Yeah. Right. Don't know about that just yet. Yeah, we'll get there. I'll get there. I'll pack it. It's going to be fine. I'll just pack it all.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the other thing. I'm like, that's the other thing. I haven't been on a trip like this long before. So I'm like, what if my suitcase isn't big enough? You know, will I have enough room for all the clothes or, you know?
Yeah. We have to do laundry on the
road. Yes.
Will I wear the same outfit twice?
Yeah. Will I have to do laundry while we're out there?
Yeah.
Real concern. Like, should I bring like exercise clothes? Like this would be a pretty long time to go without like exercising, you know?
True.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, so it's like other things like that. Like, cause normally if you're on like a trip, it's like, whatever. I'll just, I can go a little wild right now. I'm like, if you go that wild for this long, it's like, and maybe I should be a little more conscious about like health things, you know?
Beets are healthy.
Yeah. Last. Beets are healthful, you know? Yeah.
Just eat a beet every single morning.
I'm just bringing a bushel of beets with us.
Great.
Everyone, yeah, meet in the lobby. I'll have your beets.
Yeah. Good morning. Morning beets.
Morning beets. There you go. People are like, I thought you meant headphones. I'd be like, I didn't.
No. Not one bit.
Not one bit. We got to stay healthy on the road, people. We're busy.
We're rich and iron.
Rich and iron. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh man. Anyway, yep. So that'll be that.
Well, speaking of being healthy, okay. I've gotten this week, you said you were not feeling good this week, but earlier this week I got both COVID and flu shots.
Well, way to go.
I know.
I thought you were going to say I got COVID. I was like, yeah. Jay, no.
Oh, please no. No. I mean, obviously I'm trying to avoid specifically that.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
I think good. Like the welts like on my arms where I got the shots are like weirdly big.
Oh boy.
I know, which I'm like, is this how it was last time? I don't know. But like, I wouldn't say I've felt like symptomatic or anything.
Okay.
But then, like, I know, like, you've sort of been feeling under the weather. So sometimes, like, I'm like, oh no, I have like a small tickle. Like, am I getting sick? And I'm like, it's probably just the vaccines.
Probably.
Like, it's probably that more than anything. So, like, sometimes I'll be like, am I feeling a little hot right now? And it's like, it's probably from that. Yeah. That's probably what it is.
That's probably it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I know it's like, that's another one where it's like, why didn't I do this sooner? Why did I do it this week? Why would I choose a week where getting two things that might make you feel like mildly bad for a day or two? Like this was poor planning. Cause now I feel possibly mildly bad because of like during busy time.
We're so good at stuff.
We're so good at stuff. I
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Like, you think we've got it all together? No way.
No way. Yeah. or that I'm like, you're probably just placeboing yourself into it. You're not upset at all. You're not sick at all. You're just like, you're just tired and worn out. And now you think maybe you could be sick. So you're starting to feel sick. Stop it. And I'm like, I don't even know what to think. I don't even know what to think.
Sounds like you got yourself a classic anxiety spiral.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. However, on that note, I will say that like to the effect of like self-care and whatnot, because obviously I was talking about like, I talked about all that with Beth and stuff.
Oh yeah, of course.
And so she very graciously like booked a like a massage for me this past weekend.
Was it your first ever massage?
It was not my first ever massage.
Okay.
I've gotten them before. Like I remember once upon a time, or like on our honeymoon, we got them.
Okay.
Like, you know, I think I hurt my shoulder once upon a time doing like climbing stuff at the gym, and I was going to like the chiropractor for a while, and part of their like whole program was massage.
Okay.
So there was some of that stuff, but it was certainly like maybe the first time like I have like gone to a like spa place where they do massages.
Okay.
For non like physical therapy related things.
Just for relaxation.
Just for relaxation. Yeah. So that was very nice. And, you know, they're like, oh, are there any spots you want to work on or whatever? And I was like, you know, I told them like, well, I've got this like, you know, area around like my glutes that has seized up on me a few times or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, obviously I know it's in horrible pain or something, but there's like a certain like validation where like afterwards they're like, yeah, that particular area, like down here, like definitely really tight, or like definitely like a little more work or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, cool, good. There's like literally physically, you know,
like noticeably something different.
Yes,
askew.
Like askew, exactly. And it's like, it's not just in my head, you know.
There is something wildly gratifying. You're totally right. Like when you're getting a massage and they're like, wow, you've got some knots, and you're like, I do. You know,
I do.
It's like, I've been stressed.
But like,
it's like, you can know that you were stressed, but the knots are more proof to you that you were stressed.
Yes.
Than
like a third party acknowledging your knots,
yes,
is more validating than the knowledge that you lived through the stress. Cause like, I don't know about you, but for me, it's often like, you know, like, oh, just toughen up, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I know. I asked this hypothetical this morning, and I think it's kind of an interesting one, but like the question is basically like, if you, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting or like driving your car or something, like if all at once everything like froze and the wall next to you, somebody like cracked open a door and a group of like people in lab coats walked out and they were like, congratulations, you have made it further than anybody else has ever made it, you know? And like, basically it was just like somebody acknowledging, like, we have had you in this thing. This is hard. You made it further than anybody.
All these other people, not even real.
Not even real. What would your reaction to that news be? Relief.
I mean, maybe it would also be like, a certain amount of panic. Like, I don't even know what's real anymore.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Assume you can set that aside and your family's still your family somehow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like yeah, that like, was all.
Yeah. Like, so the fact that like everything you thought you knew was a lie, like maybe try to ignore that aspect of the hypothetical.
Right.
And it's just basically like, yeah, no, you've been like, we've been watching. Nobody else has made it. Like I used to watch the show called Alone. And
yeah.
Basically the premise was you would be planted out in the wilderness by yourself. Mm-hmm. And the last person standing wins, I think, like $500,000 or something like that. But you don't know, like, you are your own camera person. They come out and do like medical checks, but you don't know what everybody else is doing. So if it's day 77 and there's like five people left, like at any given point in time, you could wonder, like, maybe they might show up and tell me I'm the last person standing.
Right.
But it's like, no, there's five people left. And it's day like 114. And then finally it's like, okay, they showed up. You're the last one standing. Nobody else is out there.
They will come tell you when it's the last day, though.
They will come tell you when you are the last person.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess there could be that. I think that would be, if they remove that element from it, then it's really interesting.
Because then you just keep going.
Then you just keep going until you quit. And you have to quit knowing that maybe you could have gone further, but you've got to be the last one, right?
I know. Yeah, that would be madness.
Yes, it's that like, would be it's madness. Like, yeah, it's like one
day,
more day.
Day 176 and like everybody else has quit at like day 89.
Yeah, right.
And you're like you quit. You're like, when did everybody else drop out? And they're like 100 days ago.
And you're like, no, what? No, it can't be.
I know, but I thought that was interesting because I think the thought experiment to me more than anything is just simply to acknowledge that at times life can be stressful.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm not trying to like have some type of other like grand existential like point to this question so much as just like, you know, it's like cut yourself some slack because life is stressful.
Right.
You know, and like,
yeah,
it would be nice if you could just like exit out of that portal hole and just go like sit in a chair and relax for a little while with like literally no expectations, obligations, long-term anything to like worry about or deal with.
Right.
So that's mostly like the point.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so after the after I got the massage, then there was also a salt room session.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I have done it once before. Yeah.
Yeah. I really had no idea what to expect from that. Like, it was just like, yeah, book it. Yeah, you get the time in the salt cave. And I was like, all right. Is this like a solo experience? You know, am I going to be like covered in salt? You just sit in a chair and like, if you don't know, if you're like, what on earth is a salt cave? Like, at least that like a spa situation. Basically, the floor will be covered in salt and the walls will be made of salt, like salt bricks, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
But then they will have like a vent that is like crushing very, very fine salt and like kind of just like blowing it into the air. And so it will like throughout the time there, you will be like lightly covered in it and like breathing it in. And I guess it's supposed to be good for like asthma and your skin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know. But it was definitely just like, at the very least, it was 45 minutes in a quiet room.
That's
also pretty good.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's like when they take you through the portal hole. That's where they take you to the salt cave.
You're to the salt cave. I was like, all right, well, this is good. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I was like playing on my phone. I'm like, it feels like playing on your phone is like against the spirit of this room, but also otherwise I'm just sitting here. I don't know.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Where would your mind go, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's also partially why I've never did one of those float tanks, like where you said you were like trying to look around the future.
Yeah. I wanted to give it a go.
I know. Like, I'm so like, I really want to try one of those like sensory deprivation tanks and just be like floating, you know.
It's very weird. And the only thing I would say is that like when I did mine, I did it like in the place that has it here in Roanoke have like double sized ones. So Alice and I went and did it together.
Yeah.
Which it was actually really fun just to like get to go do that and like share the experience with her, obviously. But like there's a piece of me that also thinks that like the true way to do it would be to go solo, because like if you like as you're floating, you will sometimes just like gently like bump each other.
Yeah.
And I think every time you kind of like make contact with something that isn't just the sensory deprivation aspect of it,
right,
you are like reminded of,
right, your senses back.
Your presence has returned.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be gone.
Right.
I'm out of here.
Okay, so here's a funny one as well, though, because this is that classic, like, you go in and time becomes very weird.
Yeah.
Because like you might do like a 90 minute session.
Yes.
And so it's like you're going in, you're going to see nothing, feel nothing, and touch nothing for 90 minutes. And it's not like there's like a big timer on the wall that like lets you know, like, hey, like 13 minutes left or anything.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, you're not gonna know how long has been passed.
Right. But so I was thinking it would be really funny to try to do and actually the reason I was thinking about this is because I'm like a subscriber to the New York Times, and they sent me like an email the other day that was like, would you be willing to stare at an image of a painting for 10 uninterrupted minutes? And the idea is that they put the painting on the screen. There's like a timer that like, you know, starts counting up to like the first 30 seconds. And they're like, we're going to take away the timer. We will periodically check in with you to let you know how long you've been staring at the thing. The goal is to not look away at anything else. Only look at this painting for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And the challenge comes from like a NYU art professor who gives this assignment to their art students to go to a museum and choose a piece of art and stare at it for 3 hours.
3 hours?
3 hours. Wow. Uninterrupted. And the idea is that like you're supposed to like really pay attention to the painting and like just see what it does to you. And it was sort of like a kind of neat experience.
It's like a kind of meditation.
It is like a kind of meditation. Yeah. And it was really fascinating to me because like the painting is not that big. It's not that elaborate. There's not like a lot of like detail in it. It's kind of this like, it's like a town sort of like in a dusky type of environment with like water ripples across the front. And like you can see like some silhouettes of some buildings off in the distance and stuff. But like, as I was staring at it during the period of time, it was amazing to me, like how my brain kept creating like stories around what this town could be or what it was doing or like what everything was. And as the minutes went on, you know, like I think like a minute six or whatever, like for the very first time in the whole 10 minutes did I realize that there were like three pylons in the back like left corner of it that like are like smokestacks, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, how had I not looked at the pylons
right
this whole time?
Right.
Like there it's probably like one of the most striking details of the painting, and it took me 6 minutes to even look at them.
Right.
And then in like the foreground of it, there was something that like the whole time I was looking at it, I kept thinking it was like a bush sort of like casting like shadows over like the water right in front of you, as if you're like standing on like an embankment, like with like, you know, bank water. And then this town is off in the distance. And I finally realized that it wasn't. It's like a small school of like fish feeding on the surface. And I was like, it took me way too long to realize those were fish.
Right.
Like, and I was like, is this like, am I understanding paintings like
you a know, little bit
like,
more
like 1%,
right,
you know, out of like the available 100% mm-hmm. of like everything that like is possibly going on here.
Right.
And so it was just really interesting. I thought it was a really neat exercise, and I actually quite enjoyed it because it was, you're like, kind of like what you're saying, like by design meditation. But then I was like, you know, we do our J versus Bens. It would be so fascinating to like almost do a J versus Ben where like we do different amounts of time that is supposedly like about to pass. So you're just supposed to like sit there quietly and then like raise your hand when you think like, 2 minutes and 45 seconds have gone by.
Oh, man.
And so the viewer can see the amount of time, and you just sort of have to be like, I think that's it.
That's interesting.
Wouldn't that be like so weird?
It's how good are you at time?
How good are you at time?
Well, I mean, we've told the story before about like when we went cave camping and how, you know, the thing about caves is that there's no light, and you think you can comprehend darkness. Like, it gets dark at night, right? But like you don't, unless you've really, really been in a cave like that, like
you've never been fully without light.
Right. Yeah. It's really hard to comprehend darkness like that. Where there's just zero, 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 zero light at all. And like the way it messes with your senses, specifically your like sense of the passage of time, is crazy, because like we quickly, like the thing was, we were trying to like go in there, sleep for the night, and come back out, but we intentionally left clocks outside.
Yes.
So just to see like how it would go. I don't know why we thought that would be so hilarious. It was, I'm so glad we did, because we got such a funny anecdote out of it.
I know. Yeah. It's like it's always been like a big long memory, because we were so convinced that we would go in, you know, at like 9 o'clock at night or whatever. And we were like, we're going to walk out of here at like 4 a.m. and be at a Waffle House and be like,
right,
what were we thinking?
Right. Like in our brain, it was like, it's going to be very difficult to find a comfortable place. We'll definitely all be very uncomfortable and want to leave quickly. But the thing is, the moment you have fallen asleep, like, first of all, I mean, even before then, even if you just stayed awake the entire time, you'd have a very bad idea of how much time had passed. But if you fall asleep, forget it.
You're done.
You are cooked, man. You have no idea how much time has passed.
Yes.
Yeah. The only thing you could maybe rely on was that, like, I think at some point everyone had to like get up and like pee at different times.
Yes.
And it was like, based on when we actually came out, like that must have been around when you'd wake up normally.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yep. So if you wake up in the morning, like go to the bathroom or whatever, it's like at some point in time, each of us would like wake up, go do that, and then come back, and go back to sleep thinking we had just woken up in the middle of the night.
Right.
And instead we go out and it's like, what, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that was probably more like 8 in the morning or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So basically we got up probably at like, you know, 7, 8 in the morning and then went back to sleep and then stayed asleep for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the wackiest, weirdest experience.
So ever. Weird. But then this is a thing that like corporate, you know, jobs will sometimes have where like they want buildings where you're working in large areas that don't have windows so that the passage of time is like devoid to you, you know?
Right. So you're not like, oh, the sun's going down. Maybe time to like, you know,
right.
Head off.
Right. Yeah. I was like, there's no clocks in here. It's just light. It's just lights on, you know, who's to say what it's like outside? Who knows? You just keep working, you know?
Yeah.
Right. You know, that'd be so weird. Like, because our like body clocks are just based on the sun, you know, coming up and going down. So if like the days were longer, would we just adjust to it? Would we just be okay at longer periods? You know?
Oh, it'd be very interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. Like if you just lived in a constantly well lit room and had no idea how long like time, this is, I think there was a Mr. Beast video about this where he just like, the goal was to be in solitary confinement with like the lights on for 7 days straight. Oof. And it's like at some point he really just has like, he had, you know, very quickly, you know, as soon as you fall asleep, has no idea how much time has passed.
Now you're toast.
Yeah. You're cooked, man. That's it. Like, what do you do? How like, do you, like you, at some point you're like, has it been like 2 days? Has it been, you know, it'd be very easy to not know if it had been like 4 days versus like 6 days, you know, you just wouldn't know. You'd be like, it's gotta be almost seven, right? It's gotta be, but you don't know.
It would be, it's like psychological warfare.
I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, he goes through that a lot and they have like, you know, someone on staff and they're like, this is what's happening to him, you know, whatever. And like, even they obviously thought to like send him food and stuff, but it was like, they would send the food at completely randomly generated intervals.
Okay.
So there wasn't like a pattern to it of like, this is probably breakfast, this is probably lunch, this is probably dinner. So it would come and then he wouldn't even know if it had been sent. He could just check this little box and see whether or not it had been sent.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So yeah, it was a real, it's like such a crazy, that's a very interesting experiment, I thought.
That is it is. It's just... I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll start with sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah, we'll start there. We'll start there. Yeah. I'll report back.
I want you to go do it so that we can talk about it.
I know. I want to go do it too. Yeah. Maybe when we get back. This is the thing. I'm like, we're going to be gone. And I feel like when we get back, I'm not going to feel like rested or anything.
I know. You know? Yeah.
I'm going to be like, need like a vacation from our trip.
Yes. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. It'll be fine. You know? Yeah.
But by the time you're hearing this, we're almost through the woods.
We're almost done.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe you saw us. I hope we put on a good show.
if so, it was great to meet you.
It was great.
Anyway, I think that's a great place to cut it for today. But as per always, we just want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send that over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.